The following message from Pastor Greg Laurie is made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God.
Hey, I want to hear from you. Would you consider emailing me? You can reach me at greg@harvest.org. Again, that's greg@harvest.org. And you can also make me one of your friends on Facebook and drop me a comment. How many of you would be willing to leave your comfort zone and let God use you?
When's the last time you did something for the first time? Coming up today, Pastor Greg Laurie invites us to make ourselves available for service to God.
God is looking for people to use. Someone who would not be embarrassed or afraid and would just take that little bit of risk. Why don't you step out of your comfort zone and see what the Lord will do through you?
This is the
Imagine if the signers of the Declaration of Independence had stayed within their comfort zone. Imagine if Henry Ford was satisfied with the horse and buggy, or if Steve Jobs thought the flip phone's good enough. No, those men changed their world. And today on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie points out that God wants to take us outside our comfort zone to change our world. It's not about nations or cars or phones. It's about letting God use us to impact people with an eternal message.
You know, when I became a Christian, I was amazed to realize that God would forgive someone like me, that he would change me, that he had a plan for my life. But then when I heard that God actually wanted to use me, I thought, but what do I bring to the table? I'm not some great academic. I'm not a musician. I'm not a super talented person. I'm not an orator. I'm just a kid. I'm a 17-year-old kid with not a lot to offer to God. I felt a little bit like that boy with the loaves and the fishes that Jesus called on and took what he had and multiplied it. So to think that God could use me was an amazing thing. And I heard that I should be out telling people about Christ. And I'd been a believer for about 2 weeks. So I thought I'd give it a go. And I found a lady sitting on the beach in Newport Beach about the age of my mom, and I thought she might be nice to me, you know, and I walked up to her and my voice was shaking and I was so nervous, and I engaged her in a conversation about Jesus. I'm sure I made a mess of it, but much to my shock and delight, when I asked her if she would like to accept Christ into her life, she said yes. I'm telling you, if that lady had asked me one hard question, I would have collapsed like a deck of cards. Thankfully, she did not. And so then I was thinking, well, I want to do this more. I want God to use me in other ways. But I had this secret fear that God was going to call me to speak publicly. And like most people, I had the fear of public speaking. In fact, when they do surveys and ask people what they're most afraid of, the fear of public speaking always comes out in the top three, sometimes even above death itself. Imagine, okay, you have a choice, die or give a speech. Kill me right now. How many of you have a fear of public speaking? Raise your hand up. Okay, sir, I want you to come up now and speak. No, okay. That'd be terrifying, wouldn't it? Well, I had that fear too. And the first time I did it, I'll just say this. God gave me what I need when I needed it. God won't give you what you need before you need it. He'll never give you what you need after you need it, but he will always give you what you need when you need it. And so I think we need to understand that God wants to use us. And so here's my question. How many of you would like to be used by God? Raise your hand up. Don't do it if you don't mean it. No, don't do it if you don't mean it. Now, all of you did not raise your hand. And that's disappointing. But maybe you'll change your mind after you hear the rest of my message. Because the greatest joy I know, next to being a Christian, is being used by God. If it's in a big way, if it's in a small way, I just love it. It might be a one-on-one conversation with someone, and I'm able to just share a little something that helps them or points them to Christ. And sometimes it's more dramatic than that, or praying for somebody or whatever it might be. What a privilege it is. And I'm asking you today, How many of you would be willing to leave your comfort zone and let God use you to take it to the next level, so to speak, in the Christian life? Or are you satisfied with where you're at right now? Because I think for God to use someone, there needs to be a sense of dissatisfaction, meaning that I want to do more with my life. I don't think I'm doing as much as I could do, and I want the Lord to use me. God is looking for people to use. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 22, the Lord says, I look for someone who might rebuild the wall of righteousness that guards the land. I searched for someone to stand in the gap in the wall so I wouldn't destroy the land, but I found none. Think about that. The Lord's just looking. And right now, I believe in the same way, he's just looking, saying, is there someone I could use? Someone that could stand in the gap. Someone who could speak up for me. Someone who would not be embarrassed or afraid and would just take that little bit of risk and let me speak through them. Years ago, God called a young man named D.L. Moody, Dwight Lyman Moody. Moody was not an educated man. He was not an eloquent man. He was working in a shoe store, and he had a coworker that wanted to share the gospel with Moody, which he did, and Moody became a believer. So after that, Moody felt a call in his life to start sharing the gospel, and the thing that prompted Moody was a statement from someone who said, Moody, the world is yet to see what God can do in and through the man who is fully consecrated to him. Moody said, I want to be that man. So Moody went from selling souls to saving souls. Remember, he worked in the shoe store. And he was used powerfully to touch thousands, even millions of people. And God is still looking for a man or a woman that he could work through who is fully committed to him. Listen to this. Everybody has a pulpit. Now, I know I have a kind of cool pulpit here. It lights up and everything, right? But you have a pulpit too. Wherever you are, you have a pulpit. It might be the people you run into when you get your morning cappuccino or latte. It might be the people that are around you at work. It's people in your family, people in your neighborhood, people that you influence. That's your platform, and you have your pulpit. I received a really encouraging letter from a school teacher who wrote me recently and said, Dear Pastor Greg, I'm a high school teacher in a pretty tough area. As a public school teacher, I have to find creative ways of witnessing to students and sharing the love of Jesus with them because Jesus is a very foreign concept to many of the students here. Look what this teacher did now. He says, so I decided to give the students some extra credit if they would go to the Harvest Crusade over the weekend. Then they were to come back and do a one-page write-up and they'd get extra credit for them. So that's what they did. The teacher says, I'm very happy to report that a few of the students gave their lives to Jesus, and several were asking me questions, which is an amazing opportunity to plant more seeds. The crusade got many of the students thinking about things they never hear about in their homes. My prayers for those that saw the crusade and haven't made that decision will make that decision. But no matter what, I'll keep in contact with these kids and continue to be a witness to them. Now that is a guy that's using his pulpit, right? You don't have to be a preacher to use a pulpit. You can be a rapper. How about Kanye West? Huh? Now, Kanye West has released an album with a title, Jesus is King. That's pretty overt. And he's saying he's a follower of Jesus Christ now. I read in an interview, quote, he said, my job, this is Kanye speaking, is to spread the gospel and let people know what Jesus has done for me. He says, I've spread a lot of things. There was a time when I was letting you know what high fashion had done for me. I was letting you know what the Hennessy had done for me. I was letting you know all these things, but now I'm letting you know what Jesus has done for me. And in that, I'm no longer a slave. I'm a son now. I'm a son of God. I'm free, end quote. That's nice. Kanye was being interviewed by Jimmy Kimmel, and Jimmy said, so Kanye, do you consider yourself a Christian artist now? Kanye said, hey, I'm just a Christian everything. That's right. That's right. Now some would say, well, I don't know. Is he really a Christian? How about this? Pray for him. Pray that he gets grounded in his faith. Pray that he's a seed sown on good ground that brings forth much fruit. Listen, I applaud any person that makes any movement toward God. And I want to encourage them in that, not critique them about that. And I think it's fantastic because he's taking his considerable platform, and he has quite a platform, doesn't he? To talk about faith. It has people talking about Jesus. I'm happy for that conversation. People that wouldn't normally be talking about the Lord. We all have a pulpit to preach from, no matter who we are, no matter what we do.
Pastor Greg Laurie will have the second half of his message in just a moment. We hear stories from listeners who experience tough times, but have also found hope through the ministry of Harvest.
Last year ended in darkness and gloom. My husband and I went far away from God, but this pandemic pulled me closer to Him than I could even imagine. We rededicated our lives back to God through Harvest at Home. We returned prodigals, and I thank God for your ministry.
It's so encouraging to hear of the changed lives through Harvest at Home. Experience Harvest at Home for yourself at harvest.org. And if you have a story to tell of how these studies have touched your life or that of a family member, I hope you'll connect with us today. Call our special number, 1-866-871-1144. That's 866-871-1144.
Well, in today's message, God Enough, Part 2, Pastor Greg is talking about the privilege and responsibility we all have to share the good news.
Well, some of us just don't want to do this. So we make up excuses. What is an excuse? An excuse? It's a fancy lie. That's all it is. An excuse is what I offer up when I don't really want to do something. It's been described as the skin of a reason stuffed with a lie. It's also been defined as a fancy lie all dressed up for dinner, right? That's all it is. And I bring that up because we're looking at Moses now. And we're looking at the excuses he offered to God as to why he could not be used by the Lord. So let's sort of backtrack and then come back to where we last left off. Okay, so Moses, right? He was spared by the Lord and he was put in that little basket and taken into the court of Pharaoh and raised by the daughter of Pharaoh, the princess of Egypt. The ancient Jewish historian Josephus felt that Moses would have become the Pharaoh himself. And Moses had everything that the court of Egypt offered. He had cool guyliner on. You know how the Egyptians had the little mascara and all that, right? He had all the cool Egyptian moves. He walked like an Egyptian for sure. He had all the royal robes, but underneath that finery beat the heart of a Jew. And he saw how his fellow Jews were being mistreated. And one day he decided to take matters into his own hands, and he saw an Egyptian slave driver mistreating a Jewish slave, and he looked to the right and he looked to the left, and he killed the guy and buried him in the sand. If you're going to kill someone, don't bury them in the sand, because the sand shifts and his deed was known, and the Pharaoh discovered it and effectively put a contract out on the life of Moses. So Moses fled and went to the backside of the desert. He probably thought he was done. He was now 80 years old, watching a flock of sheep for his father-in-law. And he married a woman named Zipporah. And suddenly there's a bush that will not stop burning. And the voice of God comes to him through the bush. And the Lord says, I've seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt. I've heard their cry because of their taskmasters. And I know their sorrows. And then the Lord says, I'm calling you to go and deliver those people. Moses is saying, not me. I don't think I'm the right guy. So he offers excuses. Here's excuse number one, if you're taking notes. He said, I am not deserving to be used by God. I am not deserving to be used by God. Exodus 3:11. Who am I, says Moses, to appear before Pharaoh? How can you expect me to lead the Israelites out of Egypt? Now, he does have a point. I mean, if you were God, would you have picked Moses? In some ways, he was a has-been, a failure. an embarrassment, even worse, a murderer who was running from the law. He was a fugitive. And now he's an 80-year-old dude who's been out in the sun. His day is done. There's no more. He's retirement age. He's beyond retirement age. And the Lord says, yeah, I think you're just about the right guy I could use at this moment. Moses moves slower now. He used to be an athletic guy. He's gone from go-mo to slow-mo. He's more reticent, apprehensive, cautious. I don't think I'm the one, Lord. You can't use me. Excuse number two, I don't have all the answers. I don't have all the answers. Look at Exodus 3:12. Moses protested, if I go to the people of Israel and tell them the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, they won't believe me. They'll ask, which God are you talking about? What is his name? What should I tell them? God replied, I am who I am. Just tell them I am has sent me to you. I love that. So Moses says, oh, who shall I say sent me? The Lord says, I am who I am. So Moses is effectively saying, who am I? The Lord says, forget about that. I am who I am. It's not about you, Moses. It's about me. Moses is saying, I don't have all the answers. God is saying, but you have all of me. And I will be with you. See, God will give you what you need. Jesus said, all power has been given to me in heaven and in earth. Therefore, go into all the world and make disciples and preach the gospel. Have you ever noticed that connection? Before he tells us what we're supposed to do, he tells us who he is. I have all power. I have authority. You go therefore, because I am in you and I will speak through you and I will work through you. And the Lord was showing this to Moses. And then he says, I want to demonstrate my power. He says, take your shepherd's staff and throw it to the ground. And it turns into a snake, probably a cobra, because the cobra was a symbol of Egypt. If you look at Egyptian antiquities today, you'll see the cobra was very much a part of their culture. The pharaoh would even wear a headdress with a cobra on it. So I think it was a cobra because it was symbolic. God was saying to Moses, you need to face your fears and you're going to be victorious over Egypt. But he picked the snake up by the tail. You never want to do that because the snake will bite you. And let me tell you from experience, I've been bitten by many snakes because I used to have them when I was a kid. I was bitten by boas and pythons and gopher snakes and king snakes. And I don't, you know, it's kind of a freaky thing to have a snake bite you. It doesn't hurt that much, but there's something very icky about it, you know. They go, and they fasten themselves there on your hand or your arm, and the way to get them off is you have to get up behind their neck and kind of press them, pry their mouth open, and they're still trying to bite. Then you're holding it, and they're wrapping their coil around your arm, and to like get rid of one of those things is very hard because the moment you let go, they try to bite you again. So, you know. So to pick a cobra up, a venomous snake by the tail. But the Lord was saying, face your fears. I'm going to be with you. And then Moses says, excuse number three, I'm not a good speaker. Exodus 4:10 now, next chapter. Moses pleaded with the Lord, oh Lord, I'm just not a good speaker. I never have been and I'm not now. Even after you have spoken to me, I'm clumsy with words. Now it's interesting because commentators have different opinions as to what this means. When he says he's a clumsy speaker, some suggest that maybe he just didn't feel he had the right way of communicating. He was not a skilled orator. Others think he might have been speaking of a speech impediment. The King James translation is, I'm slow of speech and tongue. So some think that Moses may have had a problem with stuttering. This reminds me of Jack Hibbs, Pastor Jack Hibbs. And how many of you have heard of Pastor Jack Hibbs? Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. He used to have a very severe stuttering problem. And so anyway, Jack came to Christ in a funny way. It's not funny, but it's interesting. It reminds me of myself a little. He was out driving around with some buddies, and he saw a car full of cute girls, so they followed them into a parking lot of a church. He didn't know it was a church. It was Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa. He walked in. I happened to be preaching that night. And at the end of my message, I gave the invitation and Jack gave his life to Christ. And then he sensed that the Lord wanted to use him, but he had the stuttering problem. And he would be so nervous whenever he would think of talking to anyone. So he would go out with his Christian friends who would be sharing the gospel. And he said, I can't do that. I'll stutter. But one day, and I asked him about this, so he texted me, and these are his words. He said, one night on Lido Island, I saw someone, and I felt an overwhelming burden to go speak to them and share the gospel. When I opened my mouth, I was healed of stuttering in that instant, and I've never stuttered since then. I love that. So you say, okay, I'm not going to be defined by this problem. I'm going to step out of this comfort zone, and I'm going to see what the Lord will do. Listen, the future belongs to risk takers, not mere ground holders. And it certainly doesn't belong to those that sit around and critique people that are willing to do something outside of the box. You know, look back historically in our own country, creative people who broke new ground. People like Thomas Edison, Henry Ford, Walt Disney, Steve Jobs, Elon Musk. Who lands rockets? Elon Musk does. NASA's been blowing them up in space for years. Elon Musk, a businessman, says, seems more financially responsible to land the rocket that you shot off. And he's been able to pull that off. And I think of Billy Graham and the great innovations that he was involved in bringing the gospel to people. But there are always the armchair quarterbacks and those that love to critique those that do things like that. Most of these people live on social media, specifically Twitter. And that seems to be their so-called mission in life. I'm here to just take shots at other people. What have you ever done for the kingdom of God? Why don't you step out of your comfort zone and see what the Lord will do through you? And so Moses says, I can't do this, Lord. I'm just not the guy. And then he says, excuse four, number four, I'm not qualified. He said, Lord, send anyone else. This can almost sound humble. Oh, Lord, I'm not worthy. I'm just too humble. In fact, I'm so humble, I dropped the H. I'm just umber. I'm umber. You know what you are? You're disobedient. That's not humility. If God says, I want to use you, and you say no, that's not humility. That's disobedient. And the fact that he says, Lord, he says actually in verse 13, oh Lord, send someone else. Well, what do you mean, oh Lord? You don't say no, Lord. You say yes, Lord. Otherwise, is he really Lord? If he's Lord, you obey him.
Pastor Greg Laurie, pointing out how important it is to heed God's call to stand up and speak out for Him. Great encouragement today here on A New Beginning from the message, God Enough, Part 2. And if you'd like a replay of any part of what you've heard today, you can log on to harvest.org and look for the title, God Enough, Part 2. Or to have a CD of this study sent your way, call 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300. You know, Pastor Greg, when the worst happens, the most common question people ask is why?
Yeah.
Why did this happen? Why me? Why now?
Right.
And we're making available a movie right now that tackles those questions head on. And I'm thinking a lot of people will find comfort in the powerful story on this DVD.
It's really true, Dave. You know, this is a story of a young man named Jeremy Camp. Many of you know him because he has a great career out there as a singer-songwriter. But Jeremy went to a Christian college and met his bride-to-be, Melissa. It's a beautiful love story, really, the two of them coming together. And I have to say, it's powerfully acted by KJ Apa and Britt Robertson. They have a real chemistry, and you're really pulled into this story. And they got married, and everything was looking great for them. But then, of course, if you don't know the story, it turns out that Melissa had cancer, and she had great faith, and she was hoping that she would overcome this cancer. But tragically, that's not the way the story went. And so we think, well, I don't know if I want to watch a movie like that. No, actually, you do. because this is a story that doesn't flinch in the face of tragedy. It deals with it head on, but it shows how faith can overcome adversity. We all like stories with happy endings. In a sense, there is a happy ending to this story, but there's a lot of twists and turns before we get there.
Son, you just met this girl.
What if this is destiny, and we were supposed to run towards it, not away from it?
I love her.
If one person's life is changed by what I go through, it will all be worth it.
You're a miracle.
I know this movie will give you hope, and it will bring encouragement to anybody who is facing adversity. And the film is called I Still Believe. It's actually based on a song that Jeremy wrote after Melissa went to be with the Lord. It's has incredible performances from Shania Twain, Gary Sinise, Britt Robertson, and playing the role of Jeremy Camp, KJ Apa, who is featured on the Riverdale TV show. So you're going to love this film, and I'm going to send it to you for your gift of any size. And whatever you can send, we'll use those resources to continue to bring this radio ministry around the world. So don't delay. Order your copy of I Still Believe from us here at A New Beginning. I know you'll be glad you did.
Yeah, that's right. It's from our friends, the Irwin Brothers, who produced I Can Only Imagine and Woodlawn, along with many others. It's a touching movie with a strong gospel message. And we'll send it to you for your investment in reaching out with Pastor Greg's strong gospel messages here on A New Beginning and through our large-scale evangelistic outreaches. So write for your copy of I Still Believe. Our mailing address is A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. Or call 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300. Or go online to harvest.org.
Hey everybody, Greg Laurie here, inviting you to join me every weekend for what we call Harvest at Home. It's a church service, it's a worship service, it's a Bible study, and it's wherever you want it to be. In your home, in your car, sitting on a beach, walking down the street, watching it on your phone, wherever you are, you can take it with you and be ministered to every weekend. Join us for Harvest at Home at harvest.org.
Well, next time, Pastor Greg points out that no matter how unqualified we may feel, we're fully qualified to be used of God. Well, see, God is not concerned with your ability as much as your availability. Tune in next time for A New Beginning with Pastor Greg Laurie.
The preceding message from Greg Laurie was made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God. Sign up for Pastor Greg's free daily email devotions at harvest.org.